Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, welcome back to this show, people. We're celebrating on through. In case you missed the first hour, it is September the 19th in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2020. Jesus Christ the King, the only name under the sun in which man can be saved. That's true. We're supposed to be having Jacob Pyron running the second hour tonight, but we don't know where that dude is. So your host, Eddie DeBombardier Miller. Some people call me the SOB. I kind of think I like that one better. We're going to soldier on, and we have a great guest coming on tonight. He's been on once or twice before. His name is Dr. Edward DeVries, and I'm going to bring him on just shortly. But, we'll bring him on right now. How are you doing tonight, Dr. Ed?
Oh, I'm doing good, Brother Eddie. How are you doing?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been talking about this. We're having more difficulties tonight. We have our show will be 2 years old the 6th of October, and it's been the toughest night we've had. But I love all my life. I've had to work against this innumerable odds. I mean, I grew up in the hood in the slums of South Memphis. Drafted during the Battle of the 60s, and went where. But I've always had to fight against these odds, so we're going to do great. Jacob Tyler was supposed to be driving this interview, but have no fear. I think I can do great. In fact, it's not going to be orthodox because I never do anything orthodox. Being an orthodoxy bores the crap out of me. So before we go further, Dr. DeVries, would you give us a nice background? I know you teach university. I'll just let you give it. Go ahead and give us a nice bio, Dr. Ed. I'll just call you Dr. Edward. Okay, that's my name.
Okay, well, I'm the president of the School of Biblical and Theological Studies, which is www.bibleschool.edu, which is a Bible college and seminary with just over 900 students who are literally studying from six different continents around the world. I have an earned doctorate in theology, an earned doctorate in history, which is a PhD. And, all of the undergrad and graduate degrees that go beneath that. I've written like 38 books now. And again, it sounds like I'm bragging. I'm not trying to. You just asked for a biography. I tell people that writing is what I do when I can't sleep at night. And I've just tried to stay very active. The Bible says that God's people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so I've been trying to put it out there so that, people can actually, engage the world in which they live. And we can either confront our culture or we can be a victim of it.
I tell you what, Doctor, our culture, it's the culture from hell right now, my brother. We just had Jason Bartlett on. He was a Boer from South Africa. He'd been over here. He just finished his trek. He took from Austin, Texas, all the way to Sodom on the Potomac in Washington, D.C. He did it to draw attention to the fight genocide that's going on right now, even as we speak in South Africa. And probably it's starting to crank up a little bit in this, what I call the soft genocide, the ethnic cleansing. But we just let him go. And a lot of the culture that they had, that they saw 20, 30 years ago in South Africa, he's telling us, Simon Rhodes is telling us, everybody I've talked to from South Africa, anything you want to investigate, the history of what's going on in South Africa with the white genocide going on right now, it started here. I'm going to shut up just a minute. I get kind of long-winded sometimes, but I'll run these things by you, and then we'll go to some of the things that you're expert, that you have expertise on. But, one of my favorite people is General Nik Glasovic of Croatia. He fought too many wars to count, including the Croatian independence from 1990 to 1994. Also, Dr. Michael Hill, president of the League of the South, he said that our enemies first will come for the linen, like our flag. Then they'll come for the stone, just like they did in South Africa. Then they come for the flesh, and they're coming for the flesh right now. They're killing innocent people in the streets of Portland and Seattle and San Francisco, New York, Washington, D.C. So far, thank God, it's not here in Memphis, but it's I think it's only going to get worse. But anyway, with that, before I go into another topic, Dr. DeVries, I'll throw that ball back in your court about this culture that we're facing right now.
Well, you know, when you talk about that, it just so happened that yesterday I had kind of stumbled on a quote that I know we've all heard before, but it was by Cicero, who was a politician in ancient Rome about 100 years before Jesus. And he said this, he said, a nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their faith in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. The traitor is the plague. And that's the day that we find ourselves in because, you know, you had mentioned Congress, 435-0 vote. I'm not going to say that all 435 members of the House of Representatives are traitors, but at least a couple of dozen of them are. And, you know, one of them obviously is Nancy Pelosi. But, you know, again, what we're seeing, and you wonder why things are going the way they are. It's because we're no longer fighting the enemy from without. We're fighting the enemy from within. And as Cicero said, it's a lot harder, maybe even impossible battle to fight.
Amen. I love that quote. In fact, I think I'm going to look that up and see if I can't. I couldn't memorize it that long, probably. But, you know, what a coincidence. You know, one of my favorite people in the world, General Nick Glastepec, I just referenced a minute ago, he has read that very quote. And it is so true. You know, and I said something, I believe, on the first hour that Dr. What was his name? He was the assistant. What is his name? Anyway, I can't think of his name right now. In fact, I called his name over the first hour. He says he's very well known. He said that about 50%, Dr. Ed, about 50% of the white people in the United States hate themselves. And they hate their other people. They hate their fellow man that are this white. And it just seems totally crazy. You know, and I'm going to read this quick. This is just one little paragraph from, I see where Tucker Carlson was. He's the host of the Tucker Carlson Tonight. I wish I could get that. He said, talking about our society right now that we're involved in, he said, what you're watching is the ancient battle between those who have a stake in society and would like to preserve it and those who don't and seek to destroy it. And I'd like to also go from that quote to go over here to another quote or from Rebecca May, who writes for the Nice Party. She says, and I'll make this pretty quick if I can, if you hear, we hear charges of police brutality over and over and over. Well, she says, through her research, that the cultural Marxists started using that play card back in the 1920s. And one of the purposes of the anti-police propaganda rhetoric was to undermine confidence in the police and the basic tenets of law and order. And one of the reasons they wanted to do that was because they wanted to prevent the police from attacking the good citizens of society. And before I got in, you know, the police were made the butt of jokes, they were physically attacked, and their Christian ethics and ethical codes was undermined. And I'll just say this one more thing. I think it's equally evil and bad as the spies in our society or the cowards, the 50% of us people that don't hate ourselves, that refuse to get in the ring like you and I are doing right now, the cowards. What do you think about that, Dr. DeVries?
Well, you know, the whole situation with the police is kind of an oxymoron. It's kind of a catch-22. you know, I really don't know what side to land on it, because on one side you have called the thin blue line, if you will, and you have some good men and women out there who are doing their best to maintain order and keep the peace in our society, and obviously we want to support them. But at the same time, why does a government have a police force to begin with? Because obviously, you know, they've got to have thugs. They've got to have muscle to enforce all of their laws and their tyranny. And so, you know, it's on the one side, it's very tempting to obviously, you know, be against the police because, okay, every kindergartner in Cuba knows that the policeman is not walking up and down the street with a gun to protect them, but to keep the government in power.
That's an excellent point. Obviously, we oppose tyranny,
but at the same time, like I said, so we get rid of the police, then who's going to keep the peace in the streets? It's, you know, what side of that one do you land on? It's a no-win situation.
I guess where you're going.
We finally have figured it out and it's all settled. The Bible says that, you know, soldiers will be beating their weapons into farm implements and lions will be laying down with lambs. So, you know.
That's going to be a long ways off. We're going to have to go through a lot of hell before we get to where the lions are laying down for land. Look, hey, Dr. DeFreeze, I hear the music coming. Hold on to your seat. Hold on. We'll be right back, people. I'm going to respond to Dr. Ed.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Go ahead, make my day.
Go ahead and make my day, people. Give me that 44 Magnum. Matter of fact, I was looking just this very day, trying to make up my mind between trading my. Well, I'm not going to trade it. I have a. I guess I shouldn't say this. I have more than one firearm, people. One of my favorites is my Ruger. I love Ruger. I could tell you a whole story about Ruger, but I don't want to sound like a commercial. But I've got me a nice Ruger 45. I sleep with that under my pillow. I have a Mossberg, a 3.5-inch Magnum 12 gauge, stoked up with 3.5-inch Magnum triple aught. Not double aught, but not that sissy double aught. I get the triple aught. I also have several 30-aught Texas and a 300 Winchester Magnum, so I be ready for the. I'm just waiting for the revolution. But anyway, you brought some interesting points up. The article I was reading, Dr. Ed, was they were claiming that the whole goal of the Antifa, the Black Lives Matter, the chosen ones, you might say, they want to get control of the police themselves. And they want to be the ones riding around the, like, Memphis Police Department, squad cars, Nashville squad cars, Atlanta, you name it. But I would go to say this. Now, if and only if, and I've talked about this before, giving talks on the radio, I think the evidence would show, and I'm going to run this by you, a sheriff, a constitutional sheriff. Some people hate the word constitution. We have guests on here that despise the Constitution. But if we had a constitutional sheriff based on the Holy Bible, backed up by a constitutional posse of citizens, local citizens, just like, you know, the militia, the whole idea, I look at the militia, the constitutional militia of the several states, sheriff's deputies are almost like one and the same, a posse. The idea, if you go look at the Federalist Papers, they explain that if you had a militia of citizens, grandson is not going to turn his bayonet on grandma and grandpa. You know, what if you have like a federal army like we have now fighting all over the creation, all over, you know, all over the world, they don't give a hoot in hell about grandma and grandpa here because a lot of them are foreigners. They come in the military and they go and they kill some citizens, you know, drop a little napalm over in Iraq, Iran, Vietnam, and then they can get their citizenship that way. But I will point this out too. In my opinion, the FBI and the CIA and the NSA, they should have done like JFK wanted to do eons ago. He wanted to bust the CIA up into 1,000 pieces, especially after they tried to get him into the Bay of Pigs and tried to get him in other numerous wars. And, you know, Vietnam, if JFK had survived, my war probably never would have happened in Vietnam. But, yes, absolutely. The FBI, I'm going to shut up real quick. The FBI, in my opinion, what I've read, just my opinion, what I've read, is there to maintain the status quo, just like you said, to enforce the dictates of the people, that top 0.1%, that enforce their dictates on us. And the NSA, they're just a big spy or a spy organization, and they're mainly spying on us. So back to you, Dr. Ed. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, the issue that you brought up, and I think you don't even realize it, is accountability. You know, for example, and you were talking about this at the end of the last hour, I heard you talking, you know, about how Congress could vote 435 to nothing against the will of the people. The reality is thanks to COVID-19, Nancy Pelosi has been able to change all of the rules of the House of Representatives. And so a quorum now consists of 25 members of the House of Representatives, which means 25 members of Congress can convene. The other 410 members of Congress are nowhere to be found, and 25 people can do all of the business, and they can pass legislation, and they can do everything. And so there's absolutely no accountability to the people there who elected them, obviously. And it's the same thing with the police. Again, there's no accountability to the people who they're supposed to be protecting and serving and so forth. And that's why the county sheriff is so important, and that's why the Constitution makes him the highest law enforcement officer in any given jurisdiction, because he's elected by the people. And so, therefore, he's accountable to those people, at least in the sense of if he goes off the rails, then the people will elect somebody else the next time around, or they'll call for his impeachment. And so there's an accountability there, whereas city police, state police, they don't have that accountability, because if they go off the rails, if they start oppressing people, if they you know, start acting abusively towards the people, there's no means to remove them from their positions, whereas the county sheriff and his deputies can be elected out. And so, again, it comes to accountability. And I think what we need is we need to figure out a way is those who enforce the law should be held to the highest level of accountability to it. And that's what we need, is we need to find a way to make our elected leaders accountable to the people who elect them, and our police officers accountable to the people who they're supposed to be serving and protecting. And again, how we accomplish that, I'm going to put it out this way. John Adams, the second president of the United States, said this, and I'm not quoting directly, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something to the effect of that the Constitution and the laws of our nation were designed to govern a Christian people and that they would be ineffective to govern any other. Because our law and Constitution assumes that people will have a certain morality and that that morality will restrain them. And so for our government to work, A, we need to have accountability of our leaders and our police and so forth, and B, as a general people, we need to get back to God, because without the moral restraint of following and worshiping God, you know, our whole government isn't going to work anyways.
Amen. I tell you what, you're on fire. You're hitting all my buttons, Dr. Ed. Listen, absolutely. I'll tell you how we get them back. I'll tell you how we get these 25 clowns in the Congress and think they're going to start lording over us. We do the same way that the good old boys did at the Magna Carta. They get old King Richard, they put a sword to his throat, and they explain things to him. They tell him how things are going to be if he don't come across and act like he's got some sense. That's just some Tennessee redneck porch talk right there. But what we have to do, we have to get, and you nailed it, we have to have a constitutional sheriff who's responsible to the people, backed up by we the people and the posse, the militia. Posse, militia, slash, I consider them the same thing. You know, they should say that if you're in the militia, you should be in the posse. If you're in the posse qualified, you should be in your county militia, your county posse. You should have a county, the grand jury. Here's the way I think. I think, and this people may be calling me nuts, we should be able to get together a grand jury in Shelby County, Tennessee, and indict this clown Fauci, who's the Surgeon General, and say, you've been over there meddling in Wuhan, this is kind of a stretch, but I'm going to make some sense, in this Wuhan Chinese virus research lab. It's supposed to be the most high-tech virus research lab in the world, according to one of the Chinese scientists who left there, who's seeking asylum here in the United States. Just listen to her speak just yesterday. And they did it on purpose, and they did it. This Fauci and these other people embedded in our government were in on it. They're in on it, trying to develop these viruses, releasing these viruses in the public. I think we should be able to have a sheriff, deputy, a sheriff, and a grand jury to indict this clown, Fauci, and we should be able to send people to go get that sucker and bring him and put him on trial, because they say people in Shelby County have died. These stinking viruses. I know that's a stretch. I know that probably would never happen. But we have to do it. I'm going to run this by you, Dr. Ed. It has to be done. Our protection has to be done on a county level. It has to be done on a hamlet level. We have to band together like the Constitution said, and we have to go, I think it's Article 10 of not the annulment clause, but every state can review a dictate. It comes out of Washington, D.C., and we have enough brains to know if it's constitutional or not. We have enough brains to know if it's biblical or not. And we can say this is unconstitutional, it's unbiblical, according to Black's Law, Black's commentaries on the laws of England. If it doesn't line up, if any law passed does not line up with the Holy Bible, it's dead on arrival. It's to be treated as like it never existed. And we sit here in the county, and we tell people like Pelosi, you Pelosi, you and your Luciferian hellions, come down here. I want you to try to put that stuff on me, because we've got something here waiting on you, buddy. Anyway, I'm getting kind of carried away from there. But before we go to this, respond back to that, if you will, Dr. Ed, before we go to our break.
Well, in the book of James, the Bible says there's but one lawgiver, and that is God. So God gave the law before the United States of America even existed. And God created government, Romans chapter 13 says, to fulfill his law, to carry out his law. And so when government is enforcing the laws that God already gave, it's doing what God created it to do. When government it's obviously assumed in the
court. We got to go to a quick break. Hold that thought, Doctor. We got to go to a quick break. Be right back, people. You're listening to Dr. Ed Dupree.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the longtime Supreme Court Justice who attained near cult-like status among progressive circles, has passed away at the age of 87 from complications surrounding metastatic pancreas cancer. The late Supreme Court Justice, who spent more than two decades on the bench in the highest court in the land, is survived by two children, Jane Carroll and James Stephen Ginsburg. Ginsburg was appointed to the Supreme Court in 1993 by President Bill Clinton. She battled back from two forms of cancer in the past, but her health began to take a downturn in December 2018 when she underwent pulmonary lobectomy after two malignant nodules were discovered in the lower lobe of her left lung. RBG was the second woman and the first Jewish woman ever appointed to the Supreme Court. She had her family nearby and passed peacefully, according to her family. This is USA Radio News.
Are you interested in making an extra $5,000 to $10,000 a month flipping tax-lien properties or buying tax-forfeited properties at 50% off market value to flip for even larger cash profits? Then listen. The Tax Lien Wealth Builders Company is offering a free tax lien investor kit to anyone that texts INVEST to 72000 right now. With this kit, you'll learn to use their formula and website to buy tax liens anywhere in the U.S. that can earn you up to 18 to 25% return secured by the government. It's so simple you can even do this from the safety of your own home if you have access to the right online tools. So if you're looking to become a real estate investor without getting dirty, fixing up houses, or unclogging toilets, text INVEST to 72000 now to get your free tax lien investor kit, plus free tickets to an online training session, and see how fast you can receive your first tax lien paycheck. You can't afford to wait. Text INVEST to 72000. That's tax INVEST to 72000 for your free kit now. Individual results may vary. Text INVEST to 72000.
American Airlines Chief Executive Doug Parker said that hundreds of thousands of people will be without work and service to small communities will have to be discontinued if a new round of emergency airline funding is not approved. Moreover, the national infrastructure that the airline industry provides that is key to the nation's economic recovery could be severely affected by the sweeping industry cuts. Parker's comments came after emergency talks at the White House where executives from the major U.S. airlines met with Mark Meadows in a last-minute plea for additional funding. The Pentagon is deploying a small number of U.S. troops to Syria after a series of escalating encounters between the U.S. and Russian militaries, according to defense officials. The troops and vehicles will serve as a show of presence to discourage the Russian military from crossing into the eastern security area where U.S., coalition, and Syrian Democratic Forces operate. The additional troops will include six Bradley fighting vehicles and less than 100 soldiers operating in northeast Syria on a 90-day deployment. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, I don't think any punks feel lucky around here tonight, because I tell you what, you're not dealing with just a bunch of mamby-pammies around here. Us guys around here, we know how to rock and roll. We know how to defend ourselves. And we don't even need no, we don't need no Magna Carta. We don't need a Constitution. All we need is our God-given ability to protect our lives and our family here in this county right here. People, you're listening to Dr. Ed DeFries, and we've been totally off. I have no clue. I think I know what Jason wanted to talk about. But all that stuff he usually brings up is boring anyway. No, not really. But I love doing this stuff on the fly. We've had all kinds of difficulties tonight. Our laptop, and I'm not broadcasting on the laptop. I'm not broadcasting the only thing. I'm broadcasting on the cell phone right now. But all my life, I've had to run for my life, literally, from black gangs. I've had to run for my life in the Vietnam War. I've just been living. My life has been, a lot of people would describe it as just like hell. But you know what? God almighty, I hate to admit it. Sometimes I just love this crap, man. I'm not kidding. I love the strife. I love the battle. I love the sting of battle. And I tell you what, I'm one. I still have my sword, and I ain't beat it. No plowshare, no time soon. But anyway, with that I think Jacob would call it boisterous or whatever it is anyway, hot air. I'm going to get right back to Dr. DeFries before we go into it. I was going to go and Dr. Ed, some of the stuff that he's expert on, but I got to get back to this just one more time, if I can remember who it was. Dr. Ed, what do you think about that? I said, go back to what you were talking about Romans talking about the rule of law, things like that, biblical law. Would you bring in Black's commentaries on the law of England? Didn't he he was a religious man, a Bible-fearing man, wasn't he? Go ahead, Dr. Ed.
Well, you mentioned Blackstone's commentary on the law. Blackstone's commentary basically probably, okay, 80% probably of Blackstone's commentary came from the King James Bible. And so you wonder, and of course, Blackstone's commentary on the law, which was, of course, his commentary on the Old English Common Law, was the primary book that our founding fathers basically learned the law from. And it was the book that they used to help them shape the laws that they established as they were forming our country. And you wonder why the Constitution is so biblical. It's because there are two books that they used to, you know, guide them through this process were the King James Bible and Blackstone's commentary on the law. And, of course, Blackstone's commentary came primarily from the Bible. And so we have governing documents in this country that go to the origination. The Declaration of Independence was literally a written prayer to the Almighty and an appeal to the God of heaven as the supreme lawgiver and as the supreme king of the universe. And then, of course, the Constitution was very biblically inspired as well. And maybe that's why the liberal judges in America can't understand those documents, because they're spiritual books, they're spiritual documents, and these godless liberals lack the spiritual discernment to understand them.
You know what? I'll tell you what, Dr. Ed, I could talk to you for we need an 8-hour radio show. You know, in talking about the King James Bible, you know, godly law, I'll bring up the Black Robe Regiment, if I've got it right. During the First War of Independence, 1776, you know, some of the most feared soldiers, I think I've said this on Blood River before, some of the most feared soldiers that the British feared most of all were ministers, were God-fearing ministers. And when they hit the fan.
Well, King George called it the Presbyterian Parsons Revolt, is what he called the American Revolution. The Presbyterian Parsons Revolt.
Well, I got close. There you go. Well, you know what? They were there ready to kill or be killed, under my understanding. And they not only just, you know, affixed bayonets and charged, they were a great inspiration to the men around them, you know. And so I think that's one of the reasons they were so greatly feared. But we don't have that today. What we have that today, we have these little weak, sissy Judeo-Christians, you know, people in not only the Southern Baptist. I'm continually hammering the Southern Baptist. I used to be a member of a Southern Baptist church. But you pick your mainstream church now, the United Methodist, Lutheran, you name them, and they're all getting infiltrated. And you know what? This is what I can't understand about the so-called bat soup fever virus. They shut. The church is folded like a wet rag. Not one, maybe one or two ministers in the United States resisted this government dictate that they're about to shut their churches. That just infuriates me. I mean, it makes me want to just go out. I mean, if the Antifa starts burning the churches, I mean, what do we lost? I mean, maybe we should burn them down and start them all over again. Maybe that's just too radical. But anyway,
I saw the number the other day, and the federal government gave over $315 billion to different denominations and megachurches across America, basically paying them to close their doors.
My God, that's incredible. That's almost like, I'm an old registered nurse, I don't know if you know that or not, but you know, that's almost like the government paying various hospitals right here in Memphis, Tennessee. When they have people come in the hospital, they pay them to, if they say, oh, this person's got the coronavirus, they get a certain amount of money. And I know you probably heard this. For every person that has to go in the ventilator, the government gets them a pretty good hunk of money for that, too. But, you know, going on to something else, I was going to ask you, I don't know how versed you are in ancient Israeli history. I noticed here just in the past week or so, if it's been that long, King Trump and his buddy Netanyahu, and a bunch of the Freemasons, and what they call the Ecumenical Council of Religious Leaders around the United States, they met and they signed the Abraham Accords. Are you familiar with that Dr. Ian?
Just a little bit. Let me say that from what I'm reading, and by reading, I'm talking about news sources that are in foreign countries. And yes, from what I'm reading is that because this peace deal came out of nowhere, our media wasn't even talking about it, and then all of a sudden, boom, here it is. And the reason why is because Netanyahu has essentially been negotiating this deal with the United Arab Emirates, and it would appear that the U.S. State Department and the president and the Secretary of State and so forth have had very little, possibly no involvement in this process whatsoever, but Netanyahu has a lot to gain and a lot to lose by Trump being reelected and or Biden being elected. And so Netanyahu is basically handed the president a victory, if you will, in the media because he wants to see Trump succeed in the election. That's beneficial to Israel. Now, I hesitate to say that because, you know, there's a certain portion of the audience they're probably going to go on vote for Biden now just because, you know, anything that's good for Israel, they've got to be against. And that's not what I'm trying to accomplish here. But the bottom line is that Netanyahu was the driving force behind this. Trump had very little, probably no involvement in it whatsoever. And I'm just going to throw it out there. I can give you seven reasons if you want to talk at length, but I'm just going to throw it out there because I've been asked however many times this week. No, these Abraham Accords are not a fulfillment of the prophecy in Daniel 9:27 or any other prophecy in the Bible for that matter.
It's probably a fulfillment of St. John 8:44 when Jesus called the Pharisees and described them, told them they were their son, the devil. That's probably what that's probably what it is, a fulfillment of that scripture. Let me ask, before you go to the seven reasons, Doctor, how about Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of Trump? Was he in on this with his spirit daddy, Netanyahu?
There doesn't appear to be that, again, from, you know, from what I'm reading in foreign news sources, but that's not to say that maybe he didn't have a little bit of consulting in that, because I know he's you know, over there meddling in a lot of stuff.
I got you.
It seems like anything that has to do with Israel or Judaism, it seems like Kushner has his finger in the pie at least a little bit, you know.
Well, you know, you probably won't know this. It's another question. How bad is this? I think this probably will, what Trump has done by signing this. In my opinion, he's totally stabbed the Palestinians in the back. A lot of people, you'd be surprised how many people, well, you probably wouldn't be surprised, how few people in the United States, and I'm talking about people that go to good schools, good universities. I talk to them almost 3 days a week when I go downtown, where most of the yuppies and the millennials hang out. They never even heard of General MacArthur or Mao Zedong, but very few of them, kind of lost my train of thought there, but very few of them have heard of anything that we're talking about right now. But as far as the church in the United States, the Judeo-Christian church, and I know you, well, Doctor, I hear the music coming up. We're getting ready to go to our go to our final segment. We'll be right back, people. Just a minute. I'm going to go back to Dr. Ed.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
is attorney Jason Robb, general counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and war is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Okay, people, we're right back. That's some of my favorite music. I handpicked that music myself. It's from the 1930s in one of my favorite countries, Germany. It is September the 19th, the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2020. We have Dr. Ed DeFree on, and we've been kind of flying by the seat of our pants tonight. But if I say so myself, I believe we're doing a pretty good job. Jacob was supposed to be on here with running this show, but that's okay. We're just doing our thing here. And I'm going to go back and ask a question to the doc. And see his opinion. Dr. DeFreeze, you know, I would venture to say that the majority of the churchgoers here in the United States, I would say at least 70 to 80% of them are what I would call Judeo-Christians. Here's the way I look at it. This may be an exaggeration, but they look at heaven like this. You have the Jewish Zionists sitting right there at the far left. Immediately to the right of the Jewish Zionist, you have God. You know, the Jews don't really need him, but they got him there because, you know, the goodness of their heart. And to the right of that, Jesus Christ is out there somewhere. And I know that may be an exaggeration, but I don't think too much. I think Trump, what he's done, whether he knew about this or not, if he's that stupid, he has gone ahead and they driven the final nail in the coffin of the Palestinian people. That's what they've done. Most people are going to say earlier, very few college graduates here in the United States, and right here in Memphis, Tennessee, even heard of Palestine. They've asked me, oh, is there really a country named Palestine? I said, oh, hell yes. I've got a coin right here that was minted in Palestine in 1920, 1921, if I can find it. But anyway, am I right in my assessment of the church in the United States, are they just going to go ape and have an orgasm because their Lord and Savior, Rabbi Trump, has gone ahead and signed the Abrahamic Accords, and since they can't wait on the biblical prophecy to come to pass, so they're going to speed it up. Is it going to help the result?
Well, you know, I guess they probably, a lot of American Christians have a very rudimentary knowledge of Bible prophecy, and so they think that this is the fulfillment of prophecy, and so that tempts them to be supportive of it. But like I said, there's no Bible prophecy being fulfilled here. If anything, there's just a political expediency, because the truth is that all of the other Muslim Middle Eastern nations fear Iran right now, and Israel is the only power in the Middle East that has the capability of providing any type of a military opposition to Iran. And so Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, I'm having a brain freeze right now.
Syria?
Yeah, Syria. Although Syria is not as much of a part of that because they're in line with Russia. But Lebanon and some of these other countries in the Middle East, Iraq, even they're concerned with Iran, and so Israel if they normalize their relations with Israel, now they can count on Israel, who is the natural enemy of Iran, and vice versa. Basically, what's happening is if Israel can keep Iran occupied, Iran's not taking over the rest of the region. And so it's a political expediency here. And, you know, I honestly believe that the Muslims and the Jews are creating this alliance in spite of their religion and not because of it.
Well, this is the first I've heard of. Has Iran, I mean, have there any evidence that Iran has ever tried to take over any other countries in there? To my knowledge, I thought that Israel in there, and you will know more about this, Israel and the great, what they're calling Greater Israel, where the Jewish Zionists in Israel, they want to go back to their to the Old Testament times and say, hey, babe, we're home after being gone 2,000 years. You know, we're going to take over. They want to take over Iraq, Iran. You know, they want to go. I forget the exact borders between the two great rivers, but they want to take over all these countries over there. So that's been my scuttlebutt, because they got to get rid of, what you say, Lebanon, Iraq, Iran, and for their greater Israel that they used to have, like in the Old Testament days, and they've been promised by God Almighty. Isn't that the case? Because what I've been hearing, Dr. Ed, is that that's the whole idea. That's why that Israel has been wagging the tail, the Israel tail has been wagging the American dog, to fighting all their wars. I can't see really these Arab countries being afraid of Iran. I'm not trying to be argumentative, because they know that the United States, the only two countries out here that have not got in bed with Israel and the United States, and guess who? Syria and Iran. That's why they're trying. This is the gospel according to Eddie Miller. That's why the Zionists, the world Zionists, and, you know, including like the dog being wagged by the tail, that's why they hate Iran and why they hate Syria. I'm sure everybody and his mama knows this. Syria, what's his name? Assad in Syria. He is not anti-Christian. Assad in Syria is one of the few countries there, but they have Christians in their cabinet. They have Christians, Christian churches. When Israel,
well, when Saddam Hussein was in power, there was no persecution of Christians in Iraq. The persecution resumed, of course, after the United States government presumably liberated the Iraqis from Saddam Hussein.
And before they bombed, and before they did bomb Iraq, and started going in there and running the Christians out there. It's just my thought about what I've heard. The Christians in Iraq fled to all points of the globe, and a lot of them fled to Syria, where they've been given safe passage there. And that's the next. The Christians in Syria, they love Assad. The only people that hate Assad, what I've heard, correct me if I'm wrong, is the international Jews, the Zionist Jews, the United States. That's, you know, I don't know. That's just, that may be, I may be wrong there, but I can't see the United States letting Iraq or Syria do. Matter of fact, I heard also, and I'm going to shut up. I'm going to throw this one more thing out there before we run out of time. President Trump, sensing that and knowing that the United Nations is getting ready to drop the embargo they had on Iran, that embargo is supposed to expire sometime, I'll say the middle of October, I'll say October. But Trump just said he's going to unilaterally crank out his own embargo, and he may even start stopping ships taking goods and services into Iran. And one of the major people, one of the big trading partners of Iran is Red China. And they have nuclear bombs out to Yangyang. They have aircraft carriers, and they have submarines. They are not to be fooled with. What do you think about that, Dr. Ed?
Well, you're bringing up another subject that we haven't even discussed yet, and that most Americans don't realize. And that is that the United States is already at war with China. Just because shots haven't been fired yet doesn't mean that the war has not been declared and that the war is not actually in place right now. In fact, if anything, I'm just going to throw it out there. This whole coronavirus thing was a bioweapon that the Chinese launched against us, and, you know, it's made its way around the world. But, I mean, the war is already there, and it's definitely being fought right now in the form of a trade war. And it's just a matter of time, probably, until, like you said, bullets start flying. And obviously, you know, the Chinese would rather those bullets fly in the Middle East than in China. And our country and our government would rather those bullets fly in the Middle East than in the United States. But yeah, we're already at war with China.
Let me ask you this question. Have you ever heard of the great Professor Anthony Sutton? He was with the Hoover Institute, Stanford University. You probably know, he published a whole, people have heard me, they probably think of me saying this, that he published a huge volume of work. And the title of one of his works was The Best Enemy Money Can Buy. Doctor, is it possible that this whole thing between China, a lot of it, even though it's real, it's been designed, it's been built up that way because the United States, the people that are pulling the strings in the United States, the tail is wagging the dog, they need an enemy. We always need an enemy to keep the military-industrial complex cranking out war goods and to pass all their other nefarious programs, for instance, like Vietnam and my war. They passed, LBJ passed all this crap to get into health, education, welfare. Am I confusing you? Am I wrong? Am I out left field? What do you think about that, Dr. Ed, before we run out of time?
Well, you know, what was it that Orwell said, that the one thing about war is that it must be perpetual because that's the only thing that can maintain the machinery? You know, without a war, there's no economy. There's no, war is what keeps the party in power. War is what keeps the factories producing. War is what, you know, fuels the economy. And our whole system of government and economics as we know it would cease to function if, you know, there were just suddenly peace tomorrow. So we have politicians who will create wars where there do not need to be wars. And it's the same reason why even the liberal politicians, as well as the conservative, are opposing President Trump every time he wants to pull troops out of somewhere. I mean, God forbid that there be one less war in the world.
Hey, man, that's another sore point I have. The United States Army was never intended under a godly government to go in search of monsters to destroy, quote one of our founding fathers. They were put here to that we were supposed to guard our own continental United States, you know, and the Army, not to go on another rabbit trail, but the United States Army was supposed to be very small. The bulk of the defense forces of the United States, I'm sure you know this, was supposed to be in the hands of the militia that we talked about earlier. Well, you know, Dr. Ed, we're getting close to the end of time. The end of this hour. Now, do you have your own church, Dr. Ed?
Yes, sir, I do.
Well, before we run out of time, I want to ask you: would you please say a parting prayer tonight for us, Dr. Ed? Because I can't. We need it bad. Would you mind praying for Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, I pray for Brother Eddie Miller. I pray for Blood River Radio. I pray that you would just give him the strength to continue in this ministry that you've given him. Pray that you would give him the wisdom and the discernment to know what it is that he should discuss and what it is that he should say every week as he steps onto that battlefield to fight for America, to fight for truth. Just pray that you would bless his ministry in this radio program. Just pray that you would bring many people into his audience so that they could hear the things that he is saying each and every week. Pray for America. Just pray for our country. Pray for those who are supposed to be its leaders. And just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be the king once again, as our patriot fathers cried in the revolution, no king but Jesus. Pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be the king of America and that America would return to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ed. Be ready to saddle up and come back again because you're one of the best guests we've had. You were able to fly by the seat of your pants. Good night, everybody.
Yes, sir.
Thank you,
I enjoyed
Dr.
it.
Yes, sir. I enjoyed it, too.
God bless
you. Good night,
you.
Everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Bethany, for keeping us on the air tonight. And we will see you same time, same place next week. And hopefully we'll have our last time up then. Good night, everybody. Good night, Bethany.